lips. Dan listened, but his eyes strayed to Jane. She looked as tense as a prisoner facing a firing squad.
"So you see," Malik concluded, "that if any of your lawyers decide to try to help you, they will have to do it on a pro bono basis. As of noon tomorrow, Paris time, all of Astro Manufacturing will be closed down."
"Closed down?" Dan snapped. "You mean you're throwing all my people out of work?" Malik raised a placating hand.
"An unfortunate choice of words, excuse me. Astro will continue to operate, but it will be managed by specialists from the GEC under my direction."
"Holy sheep dip," Dan grumbled.
"It'll be like what happens when a corporation goes into bankruptcy," Jane said, her first words since Dan had come to their table.
"Yeah," Dan replied. "The company staggers on, profits drop to zero, and before you know it, the whole organization falls apart."
"Don't be so gloomy," Malik said. "Your employees will remain faithful to Astro Corporation. They will not be allowed to quit."
Dan fixed him with a sour look. "Another one of your double-damned regulations?"
"Yes, of course."
Malik looked wonderfully happy. With a snort of disdain, Dan leaned both his elbows on the round table and said, "Okay. Now I've got something really important to tell you about." Malik looked surprised.
"More important than losing your company?"
Nodding, Dan said, "I told Jane about it last night. This is global trouble. The greenhouse cliff."
"Cliff?"
Dan explained Zach Freiberg's hypothesis about the sudden warming of the Earth. After he finished, Malik remained silent for several moments.
"We haven't seen anything like this from our scientific staff," Jane said at last.
"Yes, we have," said Malik.
"We have?"
"Your scientists have come to the same conclusion?" Dan asked, suddenly eager with hope. Malik nodded warily.
"It's been kept in deepest secrecy."
Jane blurted,
"You didn't even tell the rest of the council."
"How could I?" Malik said to her. "This is catastrophic news. It must not leak out to the general public. There would be panic everywhere."
Dan gaped at him.
"You knew?"
"Of course I knew. I knew when your naive Dr. Freiberg brought his findings to our scientific staff."
"But you should have informed the council, Vasily," said Jane.
"Break this news to doddering old fools like Sibuti, or gangsters like Gaetano? That would be a disaster piled on top of a catastrophe."
"I don't get it," Dan said. "What in the name of Hell's Angels are you doing with the information?"
"Taking your corporation away from you. All of the Big Seven space corporations must be confiscated. Yamagata comes next."
Dan's temper snapped. He leaped across the table, hands going for Malik's throat. But the Russian blocked him, grabbed him by the hair and one arm, and flipped him expertly to the ironwood floor of the patio. Dan landed with a painful thump. The wind knocked out of him. Malik stood over him, fists clenched, hat still in place, a twisted little smile on his lips.
"We are not in zero gravity now, Randolph. I know how to defend myself. Shall I show you a few karate kicks?"
Squinting up into the afternoon brightness, Dan saw Jane clutch at Malik's arm and a pair of beefy hotel boys rushing toward them. Dan climbed slowly to his feet and waved the boys away.
"I'm okay," he told them. "No problem. We're just having a little fun." "I've kept up my martial arts training," Malik said, smirking. "Apparently you've spent all your time in low gravity making money."
Dan picked up his chair and sat on it, fuming to himself. "I'll kill this son of a bitch one of these days. Too bad I didn't do it when I had the chance 10 years ago." His backside hurt where he had landed on the floor, but his only serious injury seemed to be to his pride. Jane returned to her seat. Malik sat down too.
"Let me explain something to you, Mr. Capitalist," Malik said. "You may think that I am carrying out a personal vendetta against you, but believe me, that is not the case."
"Sure," Dan muttered.
"I learned about the greenhouse disaster more than a year ago."
"And you've done nothing about it?"
"Not so." Malik glanced at Jane, then returned his attention to Dan. "But before I tell you what I have done, tell me, what would you do to save the world from the coming catastrophe?" I'd move heaven and earth to avoid triggering that cliff.
Yes, of course, but how?
Stop burning fossil fuels, for one thing. It's the carbon dioxide and methane we pour into the atmosphere that's causing the warming.
Not natural causes? Jane asked.
Both men shook their heads. Malik said, Astronomers and geophysicists agree that neither solar activity nor ordinary climate cycles are causing the global warming trend. Our friend here is correct. The greenhouse is man-made almost entirely.
There's some contribution from cow farts and termite burps, Dan added, but the overwhelming cause of the warming is the crap we're putting into the air.
Malik smiled at him.
To get back to my question, how would you correct this situation?
Like I said, stop burning fossil fuels. Go to fusion and solar power. Move as much as possible of the world's industrial base off Earth and into orbit. We can make superconducting electrical motors and batteries in orbit, you know. They can replace petroleum-powered vehicles.
All around the world?
Right.
In 10 years?
What choice do you have? Maybe we can't get it all done in 10 years, but we've got to start now and do as much as we can.
Malik drummed his fingertips on the table for a silent moment, then said,
I agree entirely.
Dan blinked at him.
Then why in hell are you wasting time trying to drive me out of business?
I don't understand it either, Jane said. Think about it for a moment, Malik said, with an expression on his face almost of pity. It is necessary to make the whole world convert from fossil fuels to nuclear and solar energy. The entire world.
Yes, Jane said.
The task cannot be done piecemeal. It cannot be done on a voluntary basis. We cannot ask people to stop driving their petroleum-burning cars and wait until we can replace them with electrical vehicles. We cannot expect major corporations to shut down entire industrial plants for months or years while their electrical power plants are replaced. For that matter, how can we raise the capital required to build all these fusion power plants and solar power satellites in 10 years?
What choice do we have? Dan snapped.
Malik took a deep breath.
A global problem requires global coordination and global control.
Dan felt his jaw clench.
I knew it, he muttered. The whole frigging world facing disaster, and you see it as an opportunity to establish a double-damned dictatorship.
Dan, that's not fair, Jane said. Vasily has an important point here. How can you expect
free men to act in their own best interest?
Dan felt the anger rising in him again.
A lot better than they'd be able to act when some double-damned global bureaucracy is grinding them down.
Malik raised his hands in an I-told-you-so gesture.
You see, that is exactly how I expected you to react, you and your fellow capitalists. That is why it is necessary to remove you from control of Astro Manufacturing. The Council needs Astro's assets if we are to avert this disaster.
And Yamagata's? Dan asked.
Yamagata also. And all the other privately owned space industries, all 7 of them. They are the key to the world's survival. Once the Council controls all the big 7 space industries,
you'll have accomplished what you failed to do 10 years ago, Dan said. Ignoring him, Malik finished.
We will be able to begin the process of converting from fossil fuels to nuclear and solar energy worldwide.
And if you succeed, what happens afterward? Will you turn all the space industrial facilities back to their rightful owners?
Malik's smirking grin returned.
Why, Mr. Randolph, you surprise me.
By then, the Global Economic Council will be the legal owner of all space facilities. In the name of the peoples of Earth, of course. For the common good.
Bullshit, Dan answered fervently. Malik's expression hardened.
You think that I am doing this for my own personal gain. What do you call it? A power trip?
An ego trip, Dan growled.
That is not the case. What I do to save the world from the coming catastrophe. My own personal power, my ego, they mean nothing. I act for the good of all the world's peoples, not for profit. Sure, said Dan. And rain makes applesauce.